been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money. That's actually the Tuesday live edition. I'll probably be doing that all week. It is September the 5th. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. The market is off to a sloppy start, and I think you can pretty much point a finger to oil. Oil. It was a big story last week. I mentioned it in my newsletter last week. In fact, it was the chart of the week, oil prices. And look at what oil is doing today. Oil is up $1.78, $1.61 right now. We're clear up to $87.16 as Saudi Arabia extends their production cut. And that's inflationary. And it's impacting the bond market. The 10-year is up 6 basis points right now to 4.24. The Dow is down 70 points right now. The S&P is down 16. The NASDAQ is down 64. The small caps are really getting hit. They're down 1.75%. Gold is down $11. Silver's down 42 cents. The 10-year is at 4.24. The 10-year's at 4.24 this morning. We've got also news coming out of Europe and China to get to. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm. And we have a shortened week here this week in the market, and we're off to a sloppy start. Hope you all made it home safely from vacation. Barry, still, your flight was canceled. That's kind of par for the course these days. It just is unbelievable.
It's like, our saying's been, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, including us. We can't
including
get out,
your plane.
Yeah. Right, exactly. But yeah, oil prices, I mean, looking at, a barrel of oil over $87 today, and I think over 90 on the crude, on the Brent crude side. And so, that's going to be a big, can be a big drag, right? In an inflationary measure, like you said.
Yes, absolutely. And it's weighing on the market here today. Not only that, this weakness in China, and in Europe continues, and you got to be aware of that because it is a global economy, and we continue to see weak numbers. Okay, so we had a pretty good week. We ended on a high on Friday, although it was kind of a sloppy day. But for the week, the S&P was up 2.5% last week. We were up about 4 or 5% with our growth stocks last week, mostly because of interest rates dropping and some pretty good earnings reports from individual companies. But I would say that the biggest factor right now in the market is interest rates, because it's impacting the tech stocks so much, and it's impacting the housing industry and real estate and the bond market. And, we had a 25 basis point drop last week, and that translates into a 2.5% rise for the S&P and even more for the NASDAQ. But as interest rates go, so go the market in the opposite direction. And all of a sudden, this start a new week, we get some inflationary news just in oil prices. Not really news, it's just the market taking oil prices higher. Last week, information technology was up 4.4%, which pretty much represents the tech stocks, and that's where we were at last week. Energy was up 3.8%. I've been saying that those are the two best sectors in the market, technology and energy. And energy continues, in fact, even today with a lot of the market down, there's a lot of good movement in the energy stocks. today once again, especially in the energy services, energy services sector. Okay, now here's some of this news out of Europe that's impacting the markets today. The euro area PPI drops 0.5. That's good news. I haven't seen a drop in PPI in quite some time in Europe, but it actually decreased minus 0.50. So that's a good thing. But now let's take a look at the other side of the coin. That's their economy. The euro area services PMI drops to 47.9 in August, which is a 30-month low. So that's a problem, okay? And that's definitely weighing on the market today. I still think they're on vacation, Barry. You know, I was talking to a guy.
It's a huge part of the world economy.
That's a big part of the economy. They take their long vacations over there, their holidays, and things are really slow right now in Europe. The Germany services PMI down to 47.3. That's contraction. Anything under 50 is contraction, and that's what you're seeing. France PMI drops to 46, again, under 50, the steepest decline since February of 2021. Okay, so we know that we've got slowness in. We haven't really seen, when's the last time we saw a good earnings report, or I mean a good economic report out of Europe, really? It's been a while.
Short of some, short of some Spain inflation that came in pretty low, which can be, depends on the environment, could be seen as bad in certain times, that's a short of on the inflation side and in parts of the EU that are, that don't make up a huge portion of that economy. I mean, it's driven by Germany. And as you hit last week in terms of, a lot of that softness in that we're seeing in Germany.
Yes. You're right. I mean, Germany is, it's the engine that drives Europe. I mean, it's the biggest economy over there. But right now, it's the it's plugging along the worst of all of the areas of Europe. And, a lot of that, I don't know how much that energy issue is impacting them. They're pretty quiet on that, on the impact of the pipeline being blown up and not having enough energy and scrambling to get liquid natural gas, etc. We really don't know. And they're closer to the war front there, with the Ukraine and Russia. So all of that's hurting their economy right now, and it's spreading out to the rest of Europe. Now, even a bigger impact on the economy right now than Europe is China. And the Asian markets are mostly sliding today as China optimism fades, okay? So China posted some numbers that weren't all that great, They continue to have an issue. It was mostly their PMI for August. They were expecting 54, and it came in at 51.8. It seems to be improving a little bit. I mean, they're doing all kinds of things to stimulate their economy. But at the same time, they're having issues with the slow economy, and they can't seem to quite get it out of neutral. Now, having said that, there is an American company today that has good news out of China. Guess who? Tesla. You're right. Tesla is up 3% today. We actually were up. I haven't looked at it since we opened, but we were up about 0.25% overall at the open, despite the market being down because of a couple of things, including a big thing that we're going to get to when we come back. We have big news on one of our biggest holdings today. But that's good news, very good news. Tesla is also one of our biggest holdings. Tesla's up 3.1% today. Why? China made EV sales surge in August. Now, who would have ever guessed that? Okay, with all the competition over there with Boyd and XPeng and Li Auto, et cetera, and the slow economy, and here you get these good numbers coming out of Tesla. And in fact, if you compare it, they sold 64,000 cars last month. This month they sold 84,000. That's a huge jump.
That's almost 30. That's close to 33% more.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if we can look to that and say, you know, China is starting to turn things around. That's pretty remarkable. I don't know if there were reasons why, you know, maybe they had some other issues that kept their sales down last month, production issues. I don't know, but that's a big jump. That's almost a 30% jump. Okay, when we come back, more issues out of Russia, Ukraine, and then there's huge news on one of our biggest holdings today, and it's really giving us a lift. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show on this Tuesday, September 5th. I guess it's end of summer. It's back to school. It's all of those bad things we used to dread as kids. We're back to work here today. The market, I think, is going to get back to normal. It's had some light trading days here recently. We're not off to a good start here so far today. I'm going to pin the blame mostly on this big rise in oil prices. You know, Barry, I wrote in my article on in the newsletter on Friday, and I really think this is true. I think oil is being weaponized against us by people that don't like us, okay? And the reason I say that is, you know, we don't have the strategic oil reserves anymore to fight back with, which President Biden used the first time when oil started going up, you know, out of control and gasoline prices. He unloaded that strategic oil reserve. But we said at the time, that's a temporary thing that doesn't really give you anything in your hip pocket should oil start to go up again. And I think they're testing him. I think they're testing him to see whether or not he has the will to unleash Texas, right, or Oklahoma or Alaska or Louisiana or wherever else our oil comes from domestically, because we could easily offset the cut that Saudi Arabia has made, right? But they're testing him because they know, you know, ideologically that goes against you know, what they're trying to achieve with the zero emissions and everything. So I think the enemy is taking advantage of us. They're testing us. And they're going to see whether or not we will respond. And personally, I don't think we are going to respond. So it's inflationary. You're trying to get rid of inflation. Oil's a big part of inflation. Oil's in everything. Oil's in transportation of things. It's in the manufacture of many things.
Oh yeah, it's, I mean, it's the, you know, the price of oil, or, you know, one of its, you know, offshoot distillates, where it's either, you know, diesel or a gallon of gasoline, right? Those, you know, those items, that price, you know, gets translated throughout the economy,
yeah,
based
absolutely.
On other contracts. You know, yeah. There's fertilizer contracts that are based on, you know, the price of natural gas or what have you, so.
So we're trying to, you know, defeat inflation with these, you know, interest rates where they're at. You got the 30-year still over 7. And, you know, that's going to be a problem. This has happened over just the last, 6 to 8 weeks or so. I said at the end of the first half of this year, I said, I think the energy stocks are going to be a good place to be. Did the second half of the year, and we did beef up our exposure to energy, because it's also, you know, it's anti-inflationary. It benefits from inflation, So it's a way to hedge against your tech holdings, which do not benefit from higher interest rates and inflation. Okay, another thing we have to watch, Russia will not return to the Ukraine grain deal unless its demands are met. I haven't really had a chance to look into this. I don't know what the demands
are. I'm not sure what the demands are.
No. That's, you know, that could be everything from Ukraine completely ceding all of the land that they want. That's probably what is meant by that. But it's a big deal, as Ukraine is one of the world's largest suppliers of wheat and corn and produces about half the globe's sunflower oil. So, you know, that's also very inflationary. You know, they've warned of this before. I mean, Putin throws around a lot of threats, including the threat of nuclear war, which we had over the weekend. But it's inflationary. And food and energy, what more is there, right? And labor is the third one. And, of course, the labor markets do remain pretty tight. So, anyways, that's something to keep your eye on. And, you know, as I looked at the leading sectors in the market last week, there was only four, I think, that were B-plus or better in the app. One of them was soybeans, the soybean ETF, S-O-Y-B, and the other three were energy-related. Okay, well, here's the big news on one of our biggest holdings. Airbnb is being added to the S&P 500 today. Or whenever they do that, you know, they're buying in advance of that. And Airbnb is up 7.9%. I think you could tell by now, you know, during the 23, 24 years I've been in the business, I've always leaned towards, favored, looked for disruptive kinds of companies that disrupt the normal way of doing things. And in my lifetime in this industry, I've seen many, many, many disruptors. Whether it be a Dexcom, you know, with their glucose monitoring, continuous glucose monitoring, whether it be Tesla. I mean, you can go on and on. Novo Nordisk with their weight loss drugs. Well, Airbnb disrupted the entire hotel industry. And they are being added to the S&P 500. It is a terrific growth stock. What can I say? Now, the tale of two cities, all right? Here's my little tale of two cities on Airbnb. I live within a few miles of Isle of Palms, which is a very popular beach vacation spot. And how many of those homes on the beach, Barry, do you think are rentals? What percentage?
Right.
A big percentage.
Yeah, I would say 80% at least.
Yes.
Right? 85%
okay.
Probably. Right.
And it's interesting that the city council of Isle of Palms voted down. It was close. It was 5-4, but they wanted to limit the amount of rentals. Only a certain amount could be rentals. And their reasoning they voted against it was because of all of the money that it brings in. The economy of Isle of Palms, the restaurants, the everything else associated with it. Now, let's turn to New York City. They are basically banning Airbnb within New York City. And they give the reason that there's not enough affordable housing for, you know, the homeless and this kind of thing. So Airbnb will basically be banned in New York City. And the other, you know, how much does that bring in and how much does it help the people that own an Airbnb? So it's just the tale of two cities, pretty much other cities are looking at that to implement regulations. That's going to be a controversy for Airbnb going forward. But even people that have owned Airbnb, here's the quote of one woman, "You don't solve this housing crisis by picking on two family homes." This woman who's had an Airbnb in New York City says, "These particular regulations are insanely stupid and contradictory." And then she adds that, "I am a progressive." And yet she's
the one that immediately impacts the value of their home and investment.
Yes, absolutely. So anyways, Airbnb being added to the S&P 500. Okay, we'll be right back with some individual companies here.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, where the biggest news, I think, is the weak numbers out of China, the weak numbers out of Europe, and the extension till the end of the year on the production cut that Saudi Arabia made several months, and seeing oil hit $86.67. I mean, the only thing that's going to drive that down, Barry, is demand. If the demand's not there, obviously that'll drive prices down. We are done with the summer driving season. We'll see if the demand drops enough. We do have weakness in Europe and China. We'll see how the demand side of the equation. But I don't think we're going to, refill our strategic oil reserves anytime soon, and I don't think that we're going to up the ante here in America and fight back with production of our own. So we'll see. Oil.
Yeah, and then,
go ahead.
And in Europe being much more susceptible to the price of Brent crude, right? And Brent crude normally trades at a premium. Sometimes that premium can get pretty wide. And so if you get in some kind of, oil fight with Saudi Arabia, then, you could even have a situation where West Texas, where crude is lower, right? Even lower than normal compared to say Brent, which isn't going to help the European economy going forward either. By the way, so
yes, exactly. Well, anyways, okay. So now we go this affordable home issue in New York City, in Brooklyn and surrounding areas. There, one of the problems you have is the current interest rates above 7%. U.S. home prices rise by the most in 10 months. Why? Supply, right? Not enough. Inventory shortage. So the median home sale price climbed 5% from a year before, which is very counterintuitive in a rising interest rate environment, but it's created a unique situation where you've got all these people sitting on, low 3 to 4% 30-year mortgages, and there's no way they're going to sell their home and have to go out and refinance, at over 7%. So this inventory shortage, I mean, one of the biggest reasons for rising home prices right now is the inventory, and the inventory is being caused by the Fed, for the most part, with their, raising interest rates over the last year. Okay, so Airbnb joins the S&P 500. So does Blackstone, BX. So let's see how Blackstone, I'm sure it's having a good day here today. Also, this is not to be confused with BlackRock. Blackstone is up 3% today. Who's leaving the S&P 500? Lincoln National, which is an insurance company, and Airbnb is replacing Newell Brands, okay? Newell Brands is an old-time company, Rubbermaid, a lot of different brands, but they're being kicked out. Well, they're being replaced in the S&P 500 by Airbnb, which obviously you've got one stock going one way, up, and growing, and the other one going the other way, shrinking.
I thought Blackstone was not, and I was thinking BX was already in the S&P 500.
Yeah, I know. I want to look up something real quickly because I was looking at this the other day. Newell Brands owned a brand that I was surprised. Well, they own Coleman, Elmer's Glue, Crazy Glue, Sharpie. That was it, Sharpie Pens. I said, I didn't know
that's
that.
That's a combination right there.
Rubbermaid, Food Saver, Cephalon, which are pans, Mr. Coffee, Crock-Pot, Oster, which is blender, Sunbeam, Coleman, Stearns, etc. So it's out, Airbnb in. Okay, AI, artificial intelligence to represent 11% of healthcare budgets in 2024. That's big. That's a big, big deal because healthcare alone is like 21% of our overall economy. And if they're going to make their budgets 11% AI, that means a lot of business, I would think, for ChatGPT, Microsoft, Bard, Google, NVIDIA's chips, etc. So anyways, just something to think about. That's more good news for the AI. You know, remember they were calling an end to AI and all the fervor? A couple weeks ago we had a down day in the NASDAQ. I think it was the day after NVIDIA shot heard around the world, produced those huge earnings. The best earnings report I've seen since I've been in the business, and everybody said, this is the top of AI. Well, I disagree. I think we have a long ways to go. It's just barely infiltrating and breaking into a lot of different industries right now. Okay, this is
well, and the uses, right? I mean, it's the use of it, and of course, to invest in it, you've got to buy chips and capabilities, right? So a lot of that budget, right, will probably end up going to some of that infrastructure.
Absolutely.
On the NVIDIA chip side, right?
Absolutely. Okay, now there's going to be a big IPO, and it's coming here. And now I remember when this company was publicly traded. Arm was publicly traded. It was bought by SoftBank in 2016 for $32 billion, 7 years ago. And it was looking to go public, I think, at $52 billion. So they're going to make about 70% on their money over the last 7 years, if all goes well. But Arm is a massive British chip design firm. It was a pretty good publicly traded company before it went private under the SoftBank arm, and it's going to come public somewhere in the 47 to 51. And it definitely, I mean, it's one to consider for portfolios that have these important tech companies. So we'll be watching for that that one. Novo Nordisk announces a limited launch of Wegovy in the UK. Well, it's now available to certain customers in the UK after a controlled and limited launch. Why? It's because they're having a hard time to meet the soaring demand for Wegovy, which is, this stock is one of our biggest holdings, Novo Nordisk. And it expects supplies to remain constrained for the foreseeable future. Well, it's kind of good because it keeps prices high, right, Barry? Maybe they kind of benefit, really, from this weakness in supply and this soaring demand. So they're actually allocating it.
Yeah, and there's a fine line where, between, balancing, right, that supply and demand likely, right, they're certainly leaving some revenue on the table, right, initially, just as they're trying to ramp up production. But, getting it in those, allocating it to those different regions and different markets, right, will, keeps demand up, throughout each one of those places where they're selling into, right?
Yes, and then, of course, let's not forget Lilly, which has the competing product, which is also seeing huge demand for their product. And, of course, last week, Novo Nordisk became Europe's most valuable public company. I'm not sure who they passed on that list. Maybe you remember who it was.
It was LV. I think it was LVMH.
That's right. Louis Vuitton. Who's the richest man at times, off and on.
Yeah.
He's the richest guy in the world. When Tesla stock drops, he rises to number one. Brunswick buying e-foiling technology company Flightboard. I've seen a few of these around here over on the Ashley River. A surfboard like a hydrofoil, Barry, where it sucks up water. So you're actually walking on the water in a way. Hydrofoil, electric propulsion in the water. It's an emerging electric foiling surfboard. You know, I've seen everything from the start of Duke Kahanamoku out of Hawaii with his big wooden surfboards. I've seen so many different. My brother owned the Windsurfer, where you stand on the board and it's got the sail and everything. There have been so many different versions of surfboards. I still ride my Moray boogie board. I rode it over the weekend in some nice surf here in South Carolina. And then lastly, Oracle rises as Barclay upgrades, and we like Oracle. Oracle is also got a lot of AI capabilities. Okay, we'll take a look underneath the surface here at the market when we come back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we are still up about 22 basis points overall at the firm today because we've got a couple of big winners. I mean, nobody could ever predict. You don't buy a stock because you think it's going to be put into the S&P 500 someday, although I've had that happen with many stocks along the way over the years. I mean, during the course of 23, 24 years, you see a lot of things. That's a big feather in a company's cap to get chosen for the S&P 500, and that's what's happening with the Airbnb today. We own Airbnb. We only own 20 stocks in our Premier Growth. We only own 20 stocks in our Ultra Growth, and Airbnb is in both of those portfolios, and it represents a 5% position or bigger, a little bigger because now it's up. In each of those.
For newer listeners or folks, thinking, why does a stock, go up in price, right, for being included in the industry? And so now, the importance there is, right, is anytime, say a SPY, right, the large S&P 500 indexes, right, anytime that someone purchases, say, one of those ETFs, well, some of that share, right, is going to include Airbnb at this point. So
yes.
Now you have a new buying audience, right, for those stocks.
Yes, and more than ever, especially I said that the market was entering a new phase after we finished the first half of the year. The new phase is selectivity. I mean, this is more really a stock picker's market now because, look, you go in the S&P 500 today, you're down. But if you have some of the winners in that S&P 500, we're trying to cherry pick, find the ones that will deliver the alpha and deliver returns better than the S&P 500. This is definitely, with the market being at 19 times, I think it's finished Friday at 18.8 or something like that forward PE. That means you're not going to do as well in the indexes. I mean, you have a better chance, okay? There's no guarantees of being a stock picker in this kind of a market, or you're just going to get kind of mediocre returns, and you could get mediocre returns being a stock picker too, but I just think this is a stock picker's market, and that's kind of evident at least today. Intel's up 1.3% in the Dow. Not sure what's going on there. There's always a lot of hype around Intel. I have to say this about Intel. Barry, that's an excellent chart on Intel. It's an excellent chart. I have a hard time. I cannot predict the growth rate going forward. I cannot. I'm using 10%, which is generous. I'm way above the consensus. But you know what? The chart says a lot there. That's a relative strength of 90 on Intel right now. Okay, United Healthcare. The healthcare stocks have been under massive pressure. It's up 1.3. Microsoft is up 1%. That's pretty good. That's the Dow. Now, in the on the downside, in the Dow, at the bottom of the list, DuPont. I would say that's because they have a lot of input oil in their products, their chemicals. That's going to hurt them, this big price rise in oil. Nike's down 1.4. Home Depot's down 1.3. Caterpillar's down 1.1. Merck down 1. Okay, as we go to the S&P 500, well, new constituent, not yet. I mean, it has to be officially added in, and all the indexes got to be reshuffled. But definitely the biggest winner in the S&P 500 today is Airbnb, which is up now 7. Let's see, Airbnb. last time I looked, I'm not getting it for some reason right now. There it is. It's up 8.1% today. Holy cow, that's a great chart there, too. All right, now, behind it, TripAdvisor up 5.4%. Fertilizer stock, CF Industries, which hasn't made much noise for quite some time, it's up 4.5%. Tesla, that's another reason we're having a good day. We have two or three. Well, we have our energy stocks doing well today. And then we have a couple of S&P 500 stocks, including Tesla's up 3.5% on those really good numbers out of China. And Netflix, which has been on a roll lately, is up 2.7% today. Not a bad chart on Netflix. And then you've got Nabors Industry and some of the oil services stocks also doing well there. And looking inside the NASDAQ today, well, let's look at the S&P 500 losers here first. That's always important to see where the weakness in the market is. I don't see anything that really stands out to me there. Cleveland Cliffs down 1.8. That's steel related. Harley Davidson down 1.9. Monster Beverage down 1.8. Nothing really getting whacked here today. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, Tesla up 3.5, Netflix up 2.7, Intel up 1.7, Meta up 1.1, Microsoft up. So big tech actually is making a little noise today. And on the downside, Marriott down 1.8, Monster down 1.8. Those are the losers in the NASDAQ. Okay, well, in the Friday's newsletter, I featured a stock. I wrote a featured article about it. It's under the radar. You got to get the newsletter. Sorry, I'm not going to just give it out. I put a lot of work into that article over the weekend. And you can see what it is.
You had to do some research for that one, I think.
Yes, I did. And it's not an AI stock, although I'm sure they're using AI. I also updated my S&P 500 target prices. They went up a little bit this week on better earnings forecasts for this year, next year, 2024, and then the year after that, 2025. You get 2 free weeks of the newsletter. We've been overwhelmed with requests recently, but we send them out as soon as we get those requests, GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to make an appointment with us to discuss our various portfolios and what might be a good mix match, our bond fund is also doing well, continues to do well. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.